Well, praise the Lord. All right. I'm glad you're here tonight. I hear we have a family from Florida here tonight. Is that true? What part of Florida? All right, I'm from Lakeland. Don't hold that against me. And that's where I was born at, and Florida's never been the same yet. But we're glad you're here tonight, and I'm sorry you couldn't hear Pastor Lawson preach tonight. But I promise you I'm going to preach from the Bible. And I would ask you to take your Bibles, if you will, tonight. Let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. This doctrine, if you will, this thought has been on my mind for over a month, even though last time I preached, I could have preached on this, but the Lord led me differently. But tonight he's given me liberty to do this, and I hope that you will pray with me. And let's go ahead and read a couple of verses, if you will. And when you are there, let me know by saying amen. We're going to look at verse 21. The Bible says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Father in heaven, we come to you tonight because we need you. Father, this is your word. Father, this is not something that we should just take lightly. This is a very important subject matter tonight that we're speaking on. Father, I thank you for the forgiveness that you have afforded me. Not because I deserve it. Not because I've earned it. But Lord, because you are gracious and merciful. Father, I pray that you would speak to all of our hearts tonight. Lord, as we look at this text and other verses, Father, please speak to us. Father, touch our hearts. Lord, I am not an expert on unforgiveness or forgiving. Lord, I pray that you would help me if there is any bitterness in my heart held towards someone else. Lord, please reveal that to me. Lord, I want to get things right. Lord, I don't want to hinder your working in my life. Father, I just pray tonight that you would help us to receive your word, that you would guide me through the Holy Spirit. Lord, I beg you to do that which only you can do, and that is to work in our midst tonight. Father, please be with our pastor. Please watch over him and Sister Linda. Lord, give them safety, give them rest. Lord, just watch over them and protect them and bring them back home safely. We ask these things in Christ's name for his honor and glory. Amen. 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 Go ahead and be seated, if you will. Again, I am no expert on forgiveness. However, I have become better at it. And I do not think that I will be perfect at it, but I'm glad I know one who is perfect in forgiving. One who doesn't say that he forgives, but then holds it over my head for the rest of my life. And I would ask you to consider that, because how many of you enjoy God's forgiveness towards you? How many of you are a little slow to forgive others? That's where we go, woe is me. Amen. And so when we think about this, now when you look at what Peter is saying here unto the Lord, I think Peter is learning. I think Peter is, he definitely paid attention when the disciples asked the Lord to teach them to pray. By the way, you find that in Matthew chapter 6. And hold your place here. We're going to come back. But let's go over to Matthew chapter 6, if you will. And that's what's called the model prayer. And some people call it the Lord's Prayer, and I'll forgive you if you do that. It's the model prayer. He is teaching his disciples how to start praying. This was never to be taken and repeated over and over and over and over and over again like a vain repetition. But he was teaching his disciples to begin to know how to pray. And as he is going through the prayer, we'll just go ahead and jump to verse 9. It says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." Of course, who's speaking? I have to ask you that. Christ is speaking unto his disciples, and Peter being one of them. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Verse 12, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And I would ask you to keep that in mind, because we're also going to look at a parable tonight that the Lord gave unto his disciples concerning two debtors. And I would ask you to pay close attention to that. But here, notice what Jesus is saying here. He's putting a stipulation, "and forgive us our debts," or forgive us of our sins, if you will, or what we owe you. And the wages of sin is what, brothers and sisters? The wages of sin is death. But then he says this, as we forgive our debtors. I want you to forgive me, Lord. And I'm like, hey, man, praise the Lord. I want you to forgive me, Lord. But then he says, as we forgive those that have offended us. Those that have done us wrong. How many have been done wrong by someone? How many of you have been done horribly wrong by someone? How many of you have had this thought, oh, I can never forgive them. Don't raise your hand on this one. I can never forgive them for what they've done to me. You don't know what they've done to me. And I have heard people say that. I've had that thought in my heart and mind. But it's not right. It isn't right. Amen. But as we say that, as we allow ourselves to think that way, that nobody knows what they have done to us, I want to remind you there's one who does know what they've done to you. But I also want you to remember how merciful he was with you. Now, I always have to ask myself this. I didn't always do this early on, but I have to ask myself, what have I done against God? How have I sinned against my Savior? Have I done the same things that I am bitter and angry at these people for doing towards me? Have I done that to my Lord and Savior? And sadly, I can't say, nope, I'm innocent. Sadly, I have to think about my life. Now, it may not be the same thing, but listen, every one of my sins caused Christ to die for me. He didn't owe that debt that he paid. The perfect Lamb of God, sinless, knew no sin, couldn't sin, couldn't lie. Hallelujah for that. The one that loved us while we were yet sinners. The one who knew everything about us, still gave his life willingly for us on the cross of Calvary. I say amen to that. And so here we have the example in the model prayer that Jesus is giving to his disciples. And he's talking about, yes, ask the Lord for forgiveness, but be ready to forgive others as well. And then the warning comes in verse 14. Are you there with me? The Bible says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And we always want to say, amen. But verse 15 follows that. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I don't see any changes here. I don't see any conditional reasons here. And the reason I bring that up is a lot of times we want to put conditions on what God tells us to do. In other words, if that person really, I don't want to hear him just say, I'm sorry. I want to see him grovel. You ever thought that way? I want him to pay. Wait a minute. Do we want to pay for what we've done? I sure don't. But we forget about that. But here, Jesus makes it very clear. If you will forgive others, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you will not forgive others, he is not going to forgive you. Again, there is no conditional things here where it's okay not to forgive. Now, that's the hardest thing in the world, isn't it? How many of you realize that you can't hurt a dead dog? You can't hurt a dead horse. You can yell at it. You can kick it. You can stab it. You can shoot it. But because it's dead, what is it going to feel? Absolutely nothing. Does God tell us to crucify our flesh daily? Does he tell us to be the walking dead, if you will? But how many of you have noticed that flesh comes alive real quick? Now, if it wasn't for my flesh, I'd be okay. Amen. You could all say amen to that one. I told you the other night when I preached it, you know, I'm my worst enemy. I wasn't kidding. I'm very serious about that. I am my worst enemy. And as the harder I strive to not live in the flesh, it seems the easier it is to jump into the flesh. And you know, I'm going to do good today. I'm going to do good today. I'm going to do good today. Wham! Here's that flesh. He just wanted to wave at me, let me know it's still alive. And then I have to get out the hammer and nails again and crucify it, or try to anyways. But when you think that the warning that Jesus gave, now Jesus isn't playing around. This is God's holy word. And so when we think about it, now when you think of the word forgive, now I looked in Webster's 1828. I even looked in Strong's Concordance. And I just want to give you the definitions that I found here. In 1828, Webster's, it said, forgive, to pardon, to remit, to overlook, to treat the offenders, now here's where it gets really hard, to treat the offenders as not guilty. How many of you have been forgiven of your sins? How many of you does God hold that over your head? Not one of you can raise your hand. Not one of us. But here it is, to treat the offender as not guilty. And then it says, to forgive the offense, to send it away, reject it. That's pretty good. Now, forgive me on my Greek here, Brother Tony, but the word is aphiemi. That's where you find forgive. And of course, I did a search through the New Testament for that word and where you find it. And did you know that it not only means forgive, it means forsake? I want you to think about that because it's using different verses to different subjects, but here's the same idea as forgiving. Forgive, forsake, lay aside, leave, let alone, put away. Put away. You know, a lot of times we tell people, I forgive you. We only say it with our mouth, though. We have no sincerity in our heart about it. I forgive you until the next time. I forgive you, but I'm not sure that you really mean it. You ever had that attitude towards people? Now listen, how many of us have run to the Lord with our sin, with our failure, and we said, please forgive me. I shouldn't have done that. And then you turn around sooner or later and you're right back doing it again. Did we really mean it when we said it? Now, in our judgment, my judgment, I can't judge anybody else. In my judgmental mind, you know, somebody apologizes to me and they go and do it again, they didn't mean it. But yet, in my own life, I know that I've come to the Lord for the same thing, time and time again. God, please forgive me. And at the moment that I said it, listen to me, the moment I said it, I was as sincere and as honest as I could be. Then when it happens again, you know what I do? Was I really sincere? Listen, we need to understand this flesh thing. It's not something that goes away. But it is something that can be maintained. It is something that can be controlled if we strive to. And if we give God the reins. A lot of times we don't want to give God the reins, do we? A lot of times we want to steer ourselves and hold it over people's heads. And we want to have people give us forgiveness. And we'll forgive them if they prove to us that they're really, really, really sorry. Well, when we do that, we're really, really sorry. And I mean that in a whole different way. But as you think about that, God is telling us to forgive people. If we won't forgive people, then our Heavenly Father won't forgive us. Now, my iniquities, my sins have hid God's face from me. I have broken fellowship with the Lord from time to time because I refuse to deal with sin in my life. But thank God for the time, you know, it's the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance. But thank God for the time that he wakes us up and he allows us to see where we're at and we can go to him. And even though that fellowship was broken, it's instantaneously renewed when we ask for forgiveness. When we are in agreement with God, I'm wrong, I sinned against you, this is not right. And we come to him and we pour it out before him. You're right, Father, I'm wrong. Boy, aren't you glad for that fellowship? Don't you, if you've ever lost fellowship with God, it's not a good place to be. It's not a good place to be at all. Now, if you will, let's go back to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And while you're turning there, how many of you have met some people that are unforgiving? I mean, you might as well be dead. And they wouldn't be even happy if you're dead. They want you dead and in hell. I've met people like that. Okay? It's not fun. I don't like it. I feel sorry for the people, but at the same time, it's easy to get offended by those people. But there are some people that will not forgive no matter what. What do I do? Give it to the Lord. That's all you can do. If you've done your part and you tried to make things right, if they won't forgive you, that's not on you. But how many people don't realize that if we do not have forgiveness in our heart towards that person, that brother, that sister that comes to us and asks for forgiveness, if we do not forgive them, we do not realize that we have just train wrecked our fellowship with God. And somehow it doesn't seem to bother people. And at times it probably didn't bother me right off, but boy, as I said, when you lose that fellowship, you're miserable. There's nothing more miserable than a Christian that is out of fellowship with God. Amen. I want you to think about that. But I have noticed those that are not willing to forgive, when asked for forgiveness, I've noticed that they don't ask for forgiveness much themselves. I want you to think about that. You say, what are you saying? I have noticed a lot of people who will absolutely not forgive someone, I've never heard them ask someone else for forgiveness. Now, this is talking about people that you might know well. People that you might love. But if they're not willing to go to the Father and ask for forgiveness, or they're not willing to admit that they're wrong and ask for forgiveness, don't expect that you're going to get forgiveness from them. But that's not really the important one to get forgiveness from. Now, it helps. Make sure you get forgiveness from the Lord. So here we are looking at verse 21, Matthew 18 again. Are you back there with me? Here I told you, Peter believed what Jesus taught on prayer. Lord, 7 times 7? Now that's pretty good, isn't it? That's 49 times. Now, we might say, well, yeah, 49 times in a millennial. Maybe 49 times in eternity. But no. Did you know over in Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4, Jesus broke it down where he says, in a day. Now, wait a minute. I have to forgive them 49 times in a day? Of course, Jesus said there in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 18, no, 70 times 7. Brother Tony kind of mentioned that in Sunday school this past Sunday. You know, 490. I have a hard time forgiving a person one time, two times, even 49 times. I don't think I've gotten there yet. But can you imagine 490 and then Jesus throws this in a day? Now, don't raise your hand. How many of us have run to God more than once in a day? You woke up in the morning, something happened, you messed up, whatever it may be. It doesn't have to always be gross. I mean, you just sin against God, disobedience against God. You go to, Lord, I'm sorry. You think everything's okay? Hour or two passes by, if that long. There you are again. Someone said something, it just flew all over you. The flesh says, oh, I don't like that. Let's go do something about that. And, you know, we're not to be brawlers. Praise the Lord. Preachers shouldn't be brawlers. But we want to. But we let that lip do its fighting. We let that old tongue start to fight, right? And we start saying things, and we start letting things fly out of our mouth that we really shouldn't. We know we shouldn't, but boy, it just feels good, doesn't it? Have you ever noticed that the flesh will beguile you? And because you feel good and letting someone have it, you don't realize that you're just getting yourself in deeper with the Lord. It's a poison. It needs something to control it. And by the way, I'm the only one that can control my tongue. I can blame everybody I want to. I can say, well, if they hadn't have done this, I wouldn't have done that. Do you think that's really going to fly before the Lord? You know, people say, the devil made me do it. It doesn't work. Not with God. So here we are. Jesus says, no, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. And then he goes in this parable. Now, I want you to think about this parable, and I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but, you know, this master has 2 servants, and this one owes him 10,000 talents. That's about a couple $1 million, according to some of the commentaries that I looked at, some of the evaluations of what a talent was worth. Now, can you imagine in biblical times, in this parable that Jesus is giving, he's saying that this servant owed his master $2 million? And he says, pay up. And the master said unto his servant, I want you to pay up. He goes, I can't do it. I don't have it. Please have mercy on me. He was going to sell his family. He was going to sell the man, everything that he had. But the servant came to the master, says, please, basically saying, have mercy on me. And what did the master do? The master forgave the debt. That's the same as you and I when we come to the Lord with our sin. We owe a payment that we can't pay. There's no way for us to pay it. There was no way for a servant in those days to be able to pay off $2 million in his lifetime, in many lifetimes. Okay? But then that other servant that was there, I want you to think about this. He went, the servant that was forgiven went to his fellow servant. His fellow servant owed him, the one that was forgiven, 100 pence. Now, according to what the commentators are saying, and I'll take their word for it because I don't know anything about Old Testament money and things of that nature, or even in the New Testament, but this was like 1/1,000,000th of what the servant owed the master that got forgiven. But what he did is he had no mercy on this servant who owed him 100 pence. Now, they say that you could pay off that 100 pence in 100 days. If he were to work hard and, you know, earn money every day, he could have paid it off in about 100 days. Now, that's pretty good, isn't it? But the one that could never pay it off, who received forgiveness, was not willing to show forgiveness towards the one who could pay it off. But if we're not careful, we can see how that's unjust. We ought to see that this is unjust, the way he treated his fellow labor. But if we're not careful, we can get caught up just like the one who was forgiven. We can demand more out of others, even though God did not demand that same amount out of us. And what we need to realize is that this is not pleasing unto the Lord. Not one bit. Do you know that unforgiveness can kill a church? How many of you understand that? Do you know having just one person having unforgiveness in their heart in this congregation can kill this church? You say, it doesn't matter. I'm not affecting the church. Yes, you are. I am too. Do you know we can hinder revival by unconfessed sins in our lives, unforgiveness in our lives? Do you know that we can hinder God from doing his work here? How many of you want to hinder God from doing a great work here? Now, I've been watching. I'm telling you, God's been doing some stuff recently. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. He gave our pastor help when our pastor needed help. How many of you are thankful for that? But we need to have a heart that is ready to forgive. And we need to not have the attitude, well, they did this to me, they deserve to pay. Well, I deserve to pay, and I can't afford to pay what I deserve to pay. And thank God Jesus paid it for me. So we think about that, and of course we run to, you know, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have no problem running to God for forgiveness. We have no problem accepting his forgiveness. So why can't we treat others that way? By the way, are we to be Christ-like? Am I to act like Jesus Christ, live like Jesus Christ, to have the same mind as Christ? If he is willing to forgive me, and I'm not going to share with you all the things that I've done against him, but if he is willing to forgive me, how can I not be willing to forgive someone else? Well, part of it, I told you already, is that flesh. Pride. Hello? Thinking more of ourselves than we ought to. Boy, when we start to think that we're somebody and that, you know, that people better be careful how they treat us because of who we are, we're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. You're just setting yourself up for failure. I'm a zero with a big hole in it. That's all I am. But God's been good to me. Amen. When Jesus was on the cross, being crucified, being mocked, being spat upon, being stabbed, you know, with the spear at his side, being mocked by the prisoner that was crucified next to him, did Jesus get mad and angry? Did Jesus promise to come back and curse them? No, but his prayer to the Father on the cross was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now, one who never deserved any bad things to happen to him had everything bad happen to him because of you and I, because of me. I want you to think about that. And then I think about Stephen. Stephen going to reach his own people, telling them about Jesus Christ, bringing up history, how they rejected Christ, being stoned, being bitten. I mean, they went upon him and bit him like little babies, little toddlers. It's like the toddlers escaped the nursery and attacked Stephen. No, but it was the grown men, Pharisees, the Jews. They were there hating him because of what he was saying. And then they took up stones to stone him. And he didn't say, God, please curse them. How many of you remember when the disciples wanted to ask Jesus to bring down fire? No, Stephen didn't do that. Stephen prayed the same prayer that Jesus did. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's how you and I need to be. And when I say you and I, I'm really focusing on me. That's how I need to be. Because it's easy to get in a mindset where we forget how God has been merciful to us, how God has been gracious to us, and we need to demonstrate that to others. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, quote-unquote Christians are some of the meanest people I've ever met in my life. And I hope to God that's not said of me. I hope I'm not one of those that people think about. Well, you know that person, if that's Christ, if that's a Christian, I don't want any part of it. Seriously. Yeah. And we don't need to be that way, brothers and sisters. You know, Psalm 86:5 talks about that God is ready to forgive. And that he's full of mercy. How many of you know that to be true? Remember, we're to be Christ-like. We need to be ready to forgive. Now, please don't misunderstand me on this. We should always have a heart that is ready to forgive, but it's kind of hard to forgive someone if they don't ask for forgiveness. Would you agree with that? Does Jesus save anyone that does not come to him and believe on him? Hello? There is no one in heaven that didn't come to Christ and believe on him and repent. Now, a lot of people are getting away from the, you have to repent in order to be saved. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Right? He said it two times in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, verse 5. So when you think of that, Jesus is not going to save someone who doesn't ask for his forgiveness. And that's just coming into an agreement that he's right and I'm wrong, is what I'm talking about. Okay? He's righteous, I'm unrighteous, but thank God he put his righteousness upon me. And so when you think about that, now someone, they may not have asked you to forgive them. Please pay attention. They may not have asked you to forgive them, but you need to be ready in case they do. And you might as well have your mind made up, I'm going to forgive them. It's easy to preach. Very easy to say and let it come out of my lips. It's a whole nother matter when it comes time to do it. But we need to be ready to. See, God is ready to forgive. And he wants to forgive. And he will forgive anyone, listen, that comes to him and sincerely ask him to. A lot of people think that repentance is just saying, I'm sorry. How many of you have had toddlers that you told not to do something? And they did it anyways. Okay? They come to you, I'm sorry. You know, they got the crocodile tears going and they're just trying to play on your heartstrings, and they tell you they ain't sorry a bit, but they'll tell you that because they don't want to get a whooping, right? Hello. But you know they're not serious. But you know there's a lot of people that play with God that way. They know what they're doing is wrong. They know it's not right, it's not pleasing to them, and they think that if they just say, well, I'm sorry. Notice the attitude I said that with. Well, you just going to have to deal with it, but I'm sorry. You got to forgive me. That's what the Lord said. Be careful. Be careful. We need to check our heart attitude every now and then. We need to have a contrite heart. We need to have a heart that is humble when we come before the Lord. And I want to encourage you to remember that and to do that. Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4. Let me know when you arrive there by saying amen. Need more time? Say, woe is me. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what?
Do you realize we're not here to tear down each other? We're here to build up each other. Would to God we'd all learn that.
But here we are. Our communication is to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now those people that are unforgiving, those people that are hateful, is that ministering grace to us? If that's you by the chance, it's unforgiving and ungrateful and hateful, do your words that come out of your mouth, that cursing and that spewing, is that helping someone or is that just pushing them down, making things worse? It's making things worse. But here we're to edify, we're to demonstrate the grace. Where do we learn about grace? We learned about it from Christ. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away. That's that same word, by the way, is forgive. Forsake it. From you with all malice. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And here's the key. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, I've heard people say in great grief, in great suffering, in great brokenness of heart, I could never forgive that person for doing this. Now, I understand that you might feel that way at times. But the reality check that we need to have is, what does God command us to do? I wish I could say that I have this mastered. That I have this all figured out. I don't. I am unworthy to even preach this message. But God told me to preach it anyway, so I'll just do that. But forgiving others. We're to be Christ-like. I talked about that. We're to be like-minded as Him, following His actions. But here, God gives us the example. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Has Christ forgiven you of everything? Now let me tell you something that blows my mind. How many believe that God is omniscient? Now every one of my sins that He died for on the cross was in the future. And so were yours, by the way. How many believe that? You hadn't committed them yet, but guess what? You did commit them. But you know what really scares me? Not only did He pay for my sins up until this point of my life, He even paid for the sins that I have not committed yet. You say, are you planning on sinning? No. But I know me. And I know that I'm going to run to Him. And I'm going to want His forgiveness. But if I can't be willing to be merciful to someone who has offended me, someone who has done wrong against me, if I am not willing to allow them that same forgiveness, I'm going to be in a world of hurt. See, by not forgiving people, we're not hurting them. How many of you have learned that yet? Right. When you don't forgive people, you're not hurting them. All you're doing is hurting yourself. Right. You're causing anguish upon yourself. Because all your mind can do is think on that. They wronged me. All your heart is being filled with is hate. You can't love people the way you're supposed to. The two greatest commandments is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. The second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. You can't do that and have an unforgiving heart. And if you can't love your neighbor because of an unforgiving heart, guess who else you can't love? You can't love God. Well, I love God. I know, but your actions don't say it. You say, who are you talking to? I'm talking to me. You know, a lot of times we get up here, we have the privilege of preaching these messages, but I tell you what, they're harsh. If you're studying and preparing and asking God to really speak to you, they're harsh. Amen. To us, to my flesh. But I need it just as much as anyone else. But how many churches today have been destroyed because of unforgiveness? Now, I do want to remind you in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 18, I'm not going to ask you to go there. You can study this out on your own, but that's how to handle problems between you and someone else. A lot of people, I think, read it backwards. They take their problem
to the church or the pastor first. That is not what it says to do. Amen. You go to that person alone. You deal with that alone with that person. Then if they won't hear you, and by the way, if you'll just follow the first step, most problems are taken care of on the first step. Try me. Prove me wrong. I dare you. Most problems are taken care of on that first step. When you just go to that person alone and you tell them, look, you know, I perceive this happened and this is the way I see it, and I just want to talk to you about it. A lot of times it's just misunderstanding or a perception that is wrong on what took place. But that person doesn't hear you and they did do wrong, then you're to take a witness, right? Still, it doesn't say, go knock on Pastor Lawson's door. Right? It doesn't say, call up the murmur line in church and the gossip line. Yeah, buddy. It says, deal with that person directly. If you need a witness, which hopefully you won't, but then if they continue to rebel and they continue, and you know, it's been proven there's witnesses. By the way, the Bible says there has to be at least two witnesses, right? For everything to be established. And so when you do that, and still they won't repent, then you take it before the church. But we think we can just skip to part three. No. Go the steps that God gives you. And like I said, usually when you practice step one of Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, when you go to them alone, problems will more than likely be solved. But let's say it's not. And let's say it's not even a brother that offends you. It's not even someone in the church. You still need to be prepared in your heart and your mind to forgive that person, even if they never, ever come to you. Even if they never give you a nice word the rest of your life. We should always be prepared to do just as our Lord and Savior is, to forgive them. And I would ask you to consider that tonight. I'd ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, if you will. We can lie to one another. We can fool one another. We can make everybody think that everything's okay, but only you truly know in your heart that there's someone in your life that you have a root of unforgiveness towards. You have some bitterness in your heart and you haven't forgiven them. It may be someone in this church. I hope that that's not the case, but listen, I've been in enough churches to know that this brother or this sister hates that brother or that sister. And I'm telling you, if you really love the Lord, you don't want that. You don't want that in this church. I don't want that in this church. I want God to protect our church. I want God to bless our church. But we have to die to self. We have to be ready to forgive. And we have to show mercy, because God did it to us. I'd ask you to truly examine yourself right now. Is there someone in your heart, in your mind rather? Is there someone in your mind right now, you know it, and they probably came to your mind immediately when I started talking about all this stuff, that you haven't dealt with correctly? Can I encourage you to privately go to that person later, call them up, meet with them in person, that'd be best, but just talk to them. Just share with them what's going on. And, you know, the way we approach problems has a lot to whether or not those problems will be solved, too. We go in like a roaring lion. If we go in like a raging bear, we're probably going to make things worse. But if we go in with a humble heart, if we go in with a true desire to have things corrected and made right, we can see God do something. We can see healing begin. And we can see unity be reestablished. And we can edify one another. Are you doing that tonight? Are you willing to do that tonight? If God spoke to your heart and you need to come, you come. Here in just a little while, Brother McDonald's going to take the prayer request, but I want to give you a chance to respond if you need to tonight. Listen, they may have done you wrong, but please understand, God knows exactly what they did. And by the way, God said, vengeance is mine. He will repay. Child of God, don't think that these people are getting away with it. We want them to deal with it in this lifetime instead of having to worry about it the next lifetime. In eternity is what I'm talking about. Pray that person will get right. Maybe it's you that needs to get right. Pray and ask God to help you to get right. You do what the Lord have you to do. Brother McDonald.